If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Curious Conversations with Tully and Sarah. We sit down and chat with business owners, entrepreneurs, and some of the best conversation starters. This is a podcast about real life lessons and people doing cool shit. What is up, Tully Louise?
What is up? What is up? And welcome to another episode of Curious Conversations.
Our little Curious Conversationers. How are you?
Cute.
We're so cute.
We are here today recording and we have a very, I loved this episode actually.
A VIP guest.
VIP. She is definitely a VIP. Now we had Alicia
Verrocchi.
Verrocchi on the podcast. And the reason why I said to Sarah a couple of months ago, I'm like, I think we need Alicia on because we've had influencers on, we've had talent managers, but we've never had anyone from the other side who book influencers. Mm-hmm. And I find that interesting. Anyone that owns a business is going to find it intriguing. And it's just like, I think people love hearing about influencers.
Yeah.
It's a new career.
And from a business with such a huge reputation in the Australian market, Chemist Warehouse, mm-hmm. I think, well, I know I really value Alicia's opinion. So yeah. Everything she talked about today was so interesting.
Yeah. So Alicia, basically, I mean, you'll hear it on the podcast, but she does work within the Chemist Warehouse hub, mm-hmm. and books influencers for whole different kind of brands that are stocked at Chemist Warehouse, which is just really cool. So I found it so interesting. And I think you guys are going to find it interesting too, even if you don't run a business.
I know, even if you don't. It's a bit of like tea on the influencer world as well. And
no names were dropped during the recording.
I think that was...
A few were.
I think in the first 2 minutes where we said, oh, well, we won't talk about names next minute. Blop, 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 blop.
No, but they were names, but they were more of examples. Like yeah. It was your Anna Pauls and your whoever it is, which mm-hmm. I think... Anna Paul is such an iconic influencer in the Australian space that it's hard not to reference her sometimes. So there was no tea on anyone like that. It was just a few name drops. But we hope you guys love this episode.
It's great. We love Leash.
Thank you, Leash, for coming on.
And we will see you guys soon.
Ciao. Alicia?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
You look nervous.
I am.
Why?
I'm terrified.
Don't be nervous.
What if I get you cancelled?
That's okay.
Any PR is good PR.
Yeah, exactly. That's what mum says all the time.
That's what they say.
Okay.
Is that true from a marketing aspect?
Sure.
depends what it is. Depends what it is.
You're the expert, no?
No, I think any PR is good PR. It's just how you handle it. You just need a really good PR manager. Lucky I've got one.
Yeah, that's true. You're lucky. Now, before we dive deep, Alicia, we wanted you on the podcast because, one, we love you.
Thanks.
And two, we haven't had you on. And three, we really want to deep dive into what you do at Chemist Warehouse. Or do we call it socialized?
We can call it a bit of both.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I at the moment, I'm looking after a few departments. One of the key departments that I look after is influencers, talent, social media, and digital marketing. And they kind of all feed into each other, which is exciting and I guess sometimes a little bit of a headache too, right? But that's where I'm at the moment and loving it.
That's good. I wanted to go, we were going through notes and stuff, was it yesterday or the day before? And I want to talk about Chemist Warehouse as a whole. You never had Socialized. Socialized is a new segment of Chemist Warehouse. Is that right?
Yeah. So Socialized was actually Tanya, who refused to be on the podcast ever. Tanya and I, a couple of years ago, started a little agency that we called Socialized. So it's just, we were basically facilitating campaigns for brands in the influencer and talent space. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was really new to market. You know, there was only a few agencies out there sort of doing it, and it was mostly based upon not necessarily the quality of content, but I guess the reach of certain influencers. So brands were going to big agencies and just simply throwing money at the wall. So we basically wanted to, you know, infiltrate that space and see how we could, I guess, make the money work better for the people that we were working with. So we started Socialized externally to Chemist Warehouse. Okay. And then we started realizing that a lot of the brands that were coming to us were actually brands that sat within Chemist Warehouse. So It kind of made more sense for us to sort of work more closely with them, and obviously there's a bit more of a personal connection there. So that's the way it kind of rolled, and it's worked out being unbelievable. I mean, I think that the quality of content that's come out of and the relationships that we've built with these brands by working so close with the retailer has been next to none.
Do brands come to you and you have to come up with the concept for the influencers, or how does that work?
So basically a brand will come to us and say, I'm launching X product. It could be a mascara, it could be whatever it is, and they'll say, we want to implement a campaign that drives traffic to Chemist Warehouse. We'll then come back to them with recommendations around who we think is the best person out there or people, depending on the budget that they have, to drive, you know, traffic into store or sales on site. But usually it's got to be within their budget. So we can't just simply go, oh, this person who's got, you know, 50 million followers is the best person for it, because it might not be possible. The other big part of it is, it has to make sense for the creator too, right? There's no point in going to someone that's not interested in cosmetics if it is a cosmetic product, because they're not going to talk to it organically or naturally. So that's kind of how it works. We then take it back to them. They'll either say yay or nay, depending on who those people are, and we go from there.
Are you seeing more and more brands shift away from traditional marketing and advertising to the content creator side?
I think so. I think that people are more, I wouldn't say necessarily the content creator side, but I would definitely say more digitally focused. Yeah. I think that people are realizing that the ability to target certain audiences through digital marketing is just, it's next to none, right? So instead of, you know, traditional marketing, I call it the atomic bomb. You know, you go on TV, you sort of don't know who you're hitting, right? Yes, there are certain metrics around who watches TV at that time and all that sort of thing. But when you're talking about the likes of, you know, TikTok and Instagram and YouTube, you can really hone in on specific audiences based on the data that comes with us being online all the time.
Yeah. We were talking about this before we started recording the podcast. You can work with it, you can give a brand 10 influencers, but when you're picking these influencers, how deep do you dive into their analytics? Because someone could have 10 million followers, but for MCO Beauty, that 10% of them might be female, and why work with them? How deep do you dive?
So we've got lots of fancy programs.
Love that.
That tell us a little bit more about, I guess, what's going on behind the wall of an influencer's page. We really do dive deep into it, because I think that, you know, at the end of the day, we're facilitating campaigns for a retailer, and any retailer's aim is to sell products, right? So for us, it's all about who's going to get us the best conversion on soil, so in Australia. So we tend to go for influencers or work with influencers always that who we've got a good relationship with, but second to that, who have a decent Australian following. There's no point in us trying to get people to go into Chemist Warehouse via Tully if your audience is sitting in the UK or your audience is sitting in the US or whatnot. And I think also we tend to like to work with influencers that have a really even split of male versus female audience. We generally find that the Chemist Warehouse traditional shopper is that sort of female or male, you know, age between sort of, you know, 18 to, you know, anywhere up really to 55 in terms of the bulk of them. So we just have to be conscious of that too, right? Not skewing too far either way.
Yeah.
As a brand, what kind of return do they want when they use influencers?
I think with influencers, it's kind of just, it's always the unknown, right?
Yeah, it's the risk you take, right?
It's the risk you take with working with them. There's never a one and done when it comes with working directly with influencers. My thing to any brand that wants to work with influencers is really simple. Just let them control the creative, right?
Oh, I like that.
Because the more you try and fit a triangle into a square box, it's not going to work, right?
It's not authentic to their audience.
It's not authentic to their audience. It's not authentic to their day. I mean, you know, we could sit here and we could say, you know, I want, you know, an influencer who's a mum of three to talk about magnesium. And I want her to talk about how she uses it to make sure that, you know, her muscles rejuvenate after a workout. The reality is she's probably got no fucking time to work out, right? So what's funnier is that she uses it because she probably sleeps on the bedside table for, you know, half the night because she's got three kids in her bed, right? So it's kind of like, you know, allowing them to utilize their own life to create the content as opposed to being driven a certain way. And I think it's taken a little while for brands to really come to the table with that, to allow the creators, because you'll see much better return on investment when the content is authentic to that particular influencer, both from a reach perspective, so, you know, the amount of people that are, you know, seeing it, but then also from, you know, a conversion perspective and people that are actually engaging with that content.
Yeah. With smaller brands that obviously don't have the analytics in the back end like you do, is it fair to ask influencers for their analytics before they work with them?
I think it is. I think that most of the time, if you're working with an influencer that has a manager, generally they will send through some form of deck that has, whether it's updated or not, has you know, a bit of a look into the in the analytics behind that influencer and their demographic that follows them and whatnot. But yeah, I think you have to. I think you've got to kind of, you know, if you've only got 10 grand to spend for your whole marketing budget, you better make sure that it's with the right person, right?
I send my analytics to my manager every time a job comes through, like my recent analytics.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Every time. That's interesting. How do you build a relationship with the content creators that you've worked with? Because you guys are amazing at building relationships. How do you do that? Is it through events?
I actually think that the relationships that we have with some of these content creators, influencers, whatever you want to call them, have just come about over time. And and I think it comes through a mutual respect, right? Because we – influencers can sometimes be looked at as just that, influencers. They're just another marketing tool, but they're actually people, right? Yeah. They have a life. Some of them have families. Some of them have other jobs on top of the job of being an influencer. Some of them have become influencers by accident. And I think that it's really trying to understand them before sort of the expectation that we put on them. You know, for us, it's always about making sure that everybody wins. Yeah. Like, we want to make sure that, like I said before, the content is authentic to them. We trust in their process. If you can't trust the person that you're trying to, you know, get a result out of, there's no point in working with them, right? It's just an exchange. So they're not a TV ad. They're a person, right? So, yeah, I think that that's why we've built this sort of rapport. And we also don't like to do one and dones. We sort of try and work with influencers on an ongoing basis simply because it's beneficial for both of us. I mean, we obviously love the alignment that they bring to our brand or the brands that sit within our house. We want it to work both ways. Yeah. We want it to be beneficial for them too.
Yeah.
In terms of growing their own brand.
Yeah. Being an Australian-based brand, how do you choose what influencers to work with, especially influencers that have such a global reach?
Can you give me an example?
Say.
Go on, use a name.
Can I use a name?
Yeah, use a name.
Like, who's, say, an Anna Paul or a Tammy Hembo who are absolutely huge.
Yep.
What if they came to you and said, my fee is $1 million per post? And you're like, cool, that's great, but we only want to hit your Australian audience. Yeah. Is that negotiable?
Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's just, to be honest with you, when you're of that size, regardless of whether we wanted to negotiate or not, most of the time it's just not within budget.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, a brand might come to us and say, I've got a new product and I want to spend $20,000, you know, launching it and I want to spend that on a campaign. Is it smarter for us in terms of use of their money to go with five or six smaller ones or just one big one? And it kind of depends on what the objective is of that particular brand. Most of the time, because they're working with us, a retailer, it's to get sales. Yeah. So if it was just an awareness thing and they just wanted to pump it out, then yeah, go to, you know, someone that's got, you know, 12 million followers. But when it comes to sort of trying to get that conversion, it's more about making sure that product and the use of that product resonates with the audience that's receiving that. So, you know, the followers in this case.
With it, collaboration, just say, let's use Anna Paul, for example, and Hi Smile, who have just created a collaboration product. Are you guys involved in any of that at all, or is that through Hi Smile?
That's just through Hi Smile.
Is it? Yeah.
Okay, cool. So they do their own, you know, lots of brands do their own collaborations, whether that be through ambassadors or whatnot, or it could be individual products, just, you know, one and dones, one-offs. No, I mean, we obviously, you know, reap the benefits of that.
Yeah, the great. PR and stuff like that.
Which is fantastic. And then we had Anna and the team down at one of our stores in Sydney from memory a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw that in Pitt Street Mall.
That translates for sales for you guys. You can see an increase in sales when campaigns like that come out.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think anything a brand does above and beyond directing the sales to our stores is, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's great.
Mm. Is that one of the – are there any other products have been launched with an influencer like that?
Not to that.
Because that was
size,
pretty
right?
Big.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of brands that work along with campaigns where they'll attach, you know, certain people to, you know, a season or whatnot. I mean, I think Maybelline did something a little while ago and they had a whole heap of different ones. Mm. So they had like Tash Sultan, who's like a singer. They had Jess Malboy. They had a whole heap of different people sort of attached to it. So from memory, I can't remember, but it wasn't their product.
Yeah.
So you can see on a, like a global scale, even say if L'Oreal come out with a new campaign worldwide with some,
Kendall Jenner.
You see that funnel down into Chemist Warehouse and sales?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when there's noise, there's noise, right? If you're not being seen, people forget about you, right? So that's, I guess, why a lot of big brands have sort of an always-on marketing approach. So, yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. And we try and reutilize that content where possible as well.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't want to see Kendall Jenner running through Times Square with a mascara.
Yeah, absolutely. True. Has there been any – this wasn't a question I was going to ask. I just thought it then. But has there been any organic content for you guys on TikTok? Wasn't paid by an influencer. They generally just posted it because they love the product, direct it to Chemist Warehouse, that you guys were like, whoa, saw a massive peak in sales and then continued to work with that influencer?
Oh, God, you put me on the spot.
Oh, no, I just thought of it then. I was like, I would be intrigued.
It's funny you say that because I sent Leisha a text message the other night and I was like, there's Chemist Warehouse jelly beans in Bethany Frankel's video.
Oh, I saw that. Yes. Yeah.
So that's an example of one where, you know, what's her name? Bethany Frankel.
Bethany Frankel.
Yep. She's from Housewives?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't watch it, so I don't
Housewives of New York.
But everyone was losing it.
Yeah.
And that's just pure luck.
Yeah.
I mean, like, who's got probably $5 million to pay her to do content.
Yeah,
like I'm just saying she would be very expensive.
I saw
she posted this morning.
She did a whole thing on – she's like, I need more of these – she pronounced it wrong. Like,
oh, okay.
She pronounced MCO Beauty wrong, but she's like, this is the best thing I've ever used on my face. It's not quite a buffer, but it's this. She's like, I need to buy 10 of these going home.
It's from a drugstore, so it has to be Chemist Warehouse because she posted MCO Beauty and she was obsessed with – is it Natio? Natio.
Okay.
Yeah.
She had the bronzer – and eyebrow thing.
Or was it New by Nature?
Nah, Natio, I think. Yeah.
So you, were you knowing that now, just go look at the sales and be like,
We always like to have a bit of a look.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be someone that big, right? Because it depends on the audience and who and the followers of that age and where those followers live. So, like, there's been examples where big influencers in Australia have posted something randomly, maybe something we've sent them. It could have just been a gift.
True.
It could have been just a part of a PR box. Could have been anything. And they've like loved it and posted it 3 months down the track. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we don't.
Mm.
And we just see this enormous spike in sales. And we're like, what is going on?
Where did that come
from?
Right?
I mean, there was an incident. And again, I said I wouldn't use names on this, but I might have to. But there was an incident a great thing that happened.
Yeah, a great thing. language.
A couple of years ago where our friend Sofa Dofa, she posted about her love for a David Beckham men's fragrance. She wears a David Beckham men's fragrance. She loves it, right? And we often send it to her when we get it. And she posted about it and we didn't see it, right? But the next morning there was we almost had a security alert. We thought there'd been some sort of fraud or something had happened because the sales of the David Beckham fragrance had gone so well overnight.
Wow.
And not just at store level. We looked at store level after. I'm just talking about online because she posted it at night. So the stores, most of them would have been closed by 9 o'clock. But the spike in, you know, whatever it normally does and all of a sudden there's this giant peak.
Whoa.
You know, we had people like, what's happening? And we were like, oh, don't worry, we've found a TikTok.
Yeah, right.
Or we found an Instagram story. It must have been Instagram, but it was funny. So there's stuff like that that happens. And, you know, obviously we've worked with her as well. It happens all the time. Mm. It could be even as something as simple as some of our in-store creators posting things.
Yeah.
Mm. Or not even influencers as such. We have customers that go and make TikToks or Instagram posts about things that they see in our stores.
Mm. And that goes viral.
And that goes viral. Yeah. So we had an incident again. We had the sleepy tea thing. Yeah. There was over Christmas, a couple of the stores are making up little goodie bags for sort of like KK. So they put like a whole heap of things in, like the little things that we sort of have in that thing that you when you're leaving the shop.
Yep.
And they were making these little like $10, $15 goodie bags. And within them was the value of what was in them was ridiculous, right? It was incredible. And it went bananas online. The problem is not all the stores were doing it. So it wasn't a directive from, you know, head office level. Yeah. It was just like, I've got some extra of this left over. I'm going to go and make a couple of goodie bags. And it just, but it's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that gives us future ideas about what people want to see on the types of things that people want to buy.
For content creators out there, do you say you do see a natural spike in someone and you haven't worked with them? Will they be on your radar and then gradually down the road you'll work with them? Because I don't think people know the back end of content creating, that they think it just happens. But a lot of content creators
are strategic
in their posting of a brands they want to work with.
Yeah. That's a smart content creator though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we probably I don't want to say jump on them because we don't. I mean, I think we try and establish a relationship with as many content creators as we can, as long as we think that they fit the bill for our brands, right? Because, you know, there's some creators that we just don't work with because, and that's no offense to them, it's just that they don't align with what we do or who we are, and they're more in fashion or they're more in whatever. That's where their audience sits. God, that's a loaded question. It's a hard one to answer, but I get what you're saying.
It's like a new job, a new occupation. So young girls are saying, I want to be a content creator. Yeah. So they have to start from scratch somewhere.
Building content and being strategic.
And I think that if you look at the influencer space, there's a lot of people that are labeled influencers that aren't actually influencers. When I say influencers, they influence people, but they didn't intend to be influencers.
Mm.
You know, you've got people that have come off reality TV shows who have then, it's then translated really well online and they've become influencers.
Yeah.
There's people that started off writing blogs and then all of a sudden, you know, that then translated into social media and then they've become an influencer. So there's all those things that I don't want to say it's luck.
Yeah.
It's just the way in which their career has progressed. And then you've got some people that just wear the right thing once.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they've got a million followers and they don't always know what to do with that or how to manage that fame. I think starting from scratch is hard, right, without actually having something to make you pop off, whether that be a TV show or whether that be, you know, wearing the right thing or whatever it is. I think that that's hard and that's a slog and I do see that a lot. I think you're right. I think that people do actively put that in front of
businesses,
you know,
and
businesses
brands
and whatnot. Yep. But I don't know that it always works. I think that it can sometimes, I think that could potentially be seen as sort of fake.
Yeah.
Like you want them to be, I love seeing content of people that they genuinely use a product.
Mm.
And we're all different, right? We don't all, you know, I'll talk about Mecca. Not everyone uses every product from Mecca because we can't afford everything Mecca, right? And I always say if you're a Chemist Warehouse shop or if you're a Mecca shopper, you're also a Chemist Warehouse shopper, right? There's room for both. So I love seeing content where they mix. So I put my Drunk Elephant moisturizer on. I'd rather them be using Olay, but that's the reality of people, right? But then they use, you know, they use their L'Oreal mascara or they use their Revlon foundation or whatever it is. Like I love seeing that. And I think that is when you hook people or brands more is when you're really true to who you are as opposed to trying to force a message of who I want to be.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that does. That actually does make sense. I feel like if you are listening and you want to be an influencer or content creator, starting from scratch in this day and age now would be so hard.
But platforms like TikTok help.
Agree.
TikTok does, yeah.
And I think TikTok is, in terms of from a starting out perspective is probably the way of the future because no one, including TikTok, knows how things go off.
Yeah, so, true.
You know, it's kind of just potluck. You just keep going and going and going until something sticks.
Mm-hmm. You were saying before that you gave advice to an influencer that they were trying to grow and you're like, hey, why don't you go on TikTok? Can you tell that story? Because then it translates.
Yeah. So Oh, many years ago, Tanya and I, who I started Socialize with, we met with an influencer. I'm not going to say her name, but she's done very well for herself mm-hmm. now. And she was very young. She was into cosmetics, and she had an okay following on Instagram. It was definitely under 10,000. I can't remember what the number was at the particular time, but she was having trouble getting traction. Her content was so great. It still is so great. And TikTok was relatively new at that point. So sort of just post-COVID where, you know, everyone was, you know, had started to use it because they were bored as shit at home. Yeah. And she started sort of repurposing that content that she was creating anyway, or all the extra videos onto TikTok. And automatically she saw that she was getting this exceptional growth on TikTok, because I guess she was one of the first Aussie, you know, big creators in that space on there. But then what ended up happening organically is all of a sudden her Instagram following just went up as well, right? Started funneling an audience that maybe was trialing TikTok, that maybe was a bit older, but traditionally an Instagram user, to want to see both sides of her. Because as we know, most content creators have, I don't want to say one persona for each, but you sort of get the sort of more fun side of things on TikTok, and then you get the more traditional sort of static stuff and more deeper curated sharing on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been interesting to watch that evolution. And yeah, I think that if you are looking at starting content creation or a career in as an influencer, I think TikTok definitely is somewhere to start. And also not forgetting the big old beast of YouTube.
Yeah. Welcome back to Chemist Warehouse Picks of the Week.
Tully, not everyone knows this, but Drew Barrymore has a skincare, makeup range and accessories, and it is exclusive at Chemist Warehouse. And I have to say, I use the Light Illusion Concealer. I've sold it to my sister-in-law, a couple of friends, and they're like, that is a game changer.
Yeah. We've spoken about this brand on the podcast before because we discovered it a couple of years ago. And I actually am a massive, massive fan of one of her foundations. It's like full coverage and it's amazing. And she also has brush accessories, which you have here.
I remember Trey Dallas telling us about her brushes. He was like, babes, you have to try this. This is one of the brushes. The way it just – I don't get it, but like, he is a professional makeup artist and he swore by it.
So these are all really, really super affordable. They're available obviously from Chemist Warehouse, and you don't really need to spend a lot of money on brushes or foundations, in my personal opinion.
Her whole range starts from $7.99.
It's crazy.
You can buy a foundation for $13.99.
So this one here is also the micro pencil, which is for your eyebrows, which I'm a massive fan of. Mm. And Sarah has the concealer that she was talking about. And then all these brushes. You don't need to spend a fortune on brushes. As Sarah said, Trey Dallas, a professional makeup artist, has told us before. So if you're after a new makeup brand, head to Chemist Warehouse and please, please try this brand because we are massive fans.
It is affordable and it is very, very good.
Yes, it's amazing. I was going to say that. What do you see at the moment where social media is heading? Do you think it will be back to – because I feel like YouTube had a big, big thing a few years ago. It died down a little bit and now I feel like it's going big again.
I think the introduction of YouTube Shorts has made a really big difference to that whole, you know, YouTube experience. Yeah. I think people want bite-sized bits of information. They want them as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. They don't always want to sit down and watch a very lengthy YouTube. And sometimes you do, you know, there's still content creators out there where people will sit. It depends how much time you've got, right? True. People will sit and watch, you know, their favorite creator do their weekly video of an hour or whatever it is. And then there's a whole other situation with people watching gaming and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But I think that people that are on YouTube now, they have to play in the shorts as well because it's very much a, I don't want to say it's a copy of, but it is an ode to TikTok in a way and Instagram stories. So I think just trying to get whatever it is, whether you're trying to sell something or whether you're trying to get a message across, you kind of got not that long to keep people's attention these days and to get it out as quickly as possible. Yeah.
Do you have a relationship with all the social media companies? Because as you were saying that, I remember TikTok recently had some I don't know when they come out with new ideas or what people should be posting.
Yeah.
And someone said that on TikTok now you should be posting in landscape because they're trying to push videos that are filmed longer. In landscape.
And longer.
So like the YouTube form.
Did you see Sammy Clark's Sammy the trainer's boyfriend say that?
No, I saw some random on my TikTok who
I saw that too.
They'd just come off a TikTok meeting, and if you're trying to boost your content,
yeah.
That's what the algorithm of TikTok's pushing at the moment.
I don't see any landscape, but I saw that video too.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that, but I do know that the rules change all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I know with you're talking specifically about TikTok.
TikTok, yeah.
I know with TikTok, you know, we work directly with TikTok Australia. Yeah. So we have a relationship with them. We have our weekly meetings and whatnot, and they're great to work with. I think sometimes they don't understand the power of, and I'm not talking about our account manager, I'm just talking about TikTok in general. I don't think they really understand the power of what they've created.
Yeah.
I think that it is such an incredible platform, and its ability to read what a person wants to see is next to none.
Oh, it's wild.
Completely unmatched, right? I think that the human side is catching up. Sometimes, you know, we've gone through stages with TikTok where it's all about you should be creating the TikTok in TikTok. Mm. Then you should be utilizing all of their
fonts
and all the bits and pieces, whether that be the voiceovers or whether that, you know, all the things. You know, I don't create, so I can't comment on what the things are, but you know, all the bits and pieces, and keep it under a certain amount. Then if 4 weeks after, it needs to be over a certain amount. And I think that it's completely varying based upon what people are ingesting, right? And that is going to forever change. So a bit like YouTube, they've got the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
right? You've got your shorts, which generally sometimes are cut up versions of longs.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But if you have the ability to do both, that's where I think YouTube is. It's here to stay.
I agree, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
And it's you have to, in most cases, you're starting out on YouTube with an intent.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, you're going onto YouTube and you're typing something in because you want to watch something, right? With TikTok, you open it up and it automatically knows what you watched last time and what you want to watch, what you it thinks you're going to want to watch this time.
Mm-hmm. I think they're both competing for attention in SEO. You use it now as an SEO tool. Well, if you want a restaurant in Melbourne or TikTok, if you want,
I do. I don't use Google anymore.
As a search engine.
Do you really?
Yeah, I don't use Google. I will go straight to TikTok and I'll be like, best pizza in Melbourne or best mascara or whatever it is. I do not use Google.
And from a brand perspective for us, that's what we're focusing on, is redefining the keywords and being so particular on the keywords we use on TikTok.
Yep.
Because that's what a lot of people are using it now for.
Yeah, okay.
It's funny you say that, because the algorithm on TikTok, it is so clever. My algorithm at the moment is just pregnancy.
Yeah.
What to pack in your hospital bag, how to get rid of colic, whatever, and all this shit. And I'm like, fuck, TikTok's so smart. Yeah. But it's what I need in my life right now. So I love the content.
Yeah.
But do you see many brands that work with you guys using YouTube influencers?
Not so much.
Yeah, okay.
Not so much. Not so much from a content creation perspective. They do use it in digital marketing, right? So utilizing the ad space and whatnot on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big part of, you know, that. I'm not going to go into the detailed names of this sort of advertising, but advertising on YouTube, more so than the other two.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that you kind of have to watch the ads on.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Unless you pay, but you have to watch the ads.
I am not signing. I'm like, I do not need one more subscription.
I sign up to YouTube.
Sign up for 1 month free. I'm like, nope.
I pay $20. I watch YouTube.
What?
Yeah, a month. I watch.
Just so you don't have ads.
Yes, and also because I can save YouTube videos in my phone. So just say if I'm traveling, or I save like workout videos.
Into the app?
Yeah. So you can save videos into your app without using data and stuff. So when I travel.
And what are you watching?
I love like lifestyle. I will watch my favorite influencers, like Morgan Riddle, for example. Her video comes out every Monday, maybe because she's my friend, but I will watch hers religiously. I watch Sammy Clark's. I've got my favorite influencers that I've subscribed to, so it comes up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
love
for
YouTube.
Educational
things.
Yeah,
me too.
How do I do this? And I'm such like, a visual
well,
person. I'm like,
I have it on my TV, so I've got the app. So when I'm cooking dinner and stuff, I'll just put someone's YouTube up.
Really?
I love watching it because I disconnect. I don't have to think about shit.
It's your own reality TV show.
Yeah, kind of. On I just demand. Disconnect. Yeah.
I use it to... How do I put the seat down in
how
the car?
How do I clean the pool?
Because I can't find the button.
Yes.
To your opinion.
Yeah. How do you open your bonnet on your car?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to talk about too, we have a lot of friends who are influencers. We're kind of in that space. And we've heard from a lot of our influencers that their work is dying down.
Right.
And I know before you were saying that content creators and influencers are like the way to go and stuff, but are their companies spending money elsewhere?
I think their work might be dying down based upon their rates.
Well, maybe that's true. That's fair.
Maybe, there's so much more depth and breadth. The Australian market doesn't know, the Australian influencer market or influencers probably don't realise how lucky they are versus rest of world.
Yeah.
Right? You go to Europe and there's
millions.
I mean, so many competing in that mm-hmm. space. So we have worked with international influencers before for completely separate reasons. We do have a Chemist Warehouse.
In Ireland.
Yeah, we've got a number of stores in Ireland. So, we've used them, and the rates for someone that's got sort of a following here that we would never, it would be unheard of, and an engagement that's incredible at like, you know, half of what we would
pay.
Shut up. Generally speaking. Yeah. So we've worked with some pretty big ones at a relatively okay rate, which is because it's a much more saturated market, right?
I didn't know
and
that.
And they just want that work.
Well, it's a bit of a different world over there. They've got, they all bring out products and they've got different sources of income. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different.
I didn't know that.
I wouldn't say that it was dying down. I think that, if you've only got X amount of money to spend, and as I said before about how important digital marketing is moving forward in that media landscape, you'd rather get someone like, you or me that's not, you got like 10,000 followers. I've got about 500.
We're the same. Okay. You and me.
No,
we're the same.
I appreciate micro influencers. I think they work
but
more.
But thanks for pointing
but
to
I'm
us.
Saying,
no,
yeah,
I'm
we're
saying.
Micro influencers. what I'm saying is you'd be better off to spend a little bit less on someone that's less well known.
Mm-hmm.
And then utilizing the rest of the funds that you have to boost that content to the audience that you want to see it.
True.
As opposed to
Going all in.
Yeah. That is smart.
So if I've got a skincare brand and I want to target 18 to 25-year-olds with acne or whatever, blemishes, I'm going to use, me because I've got one here at the moment. And then I'm going to directly send that content to that audience.
That's smart. Wait, so would you rather work with an influencer with a manager or without a manager? I already know the answer to this, I feel like.
It was a leading question there.
Yeah.
It depends on the manager.
Okay. That's fair.
No, it depends on the manager. There are the content creators that we work with have such incredible management, right? And a great manager is someone that really goes into bat. It's not about money. It's about protecting the person, protecting their image, protecting, setting boundaries, because sometimes people can get out of hand with what they want. Setting boundaries around, how many rounds of changes and all that sort of stuff, and then going into after the fact, fight for what's next. Mm. What else can we do together? Yeah. I mean, that's a really great manager. I don't mind working with management. I don't think I have a preference either way. It's probably a simpler exchange with a manager. Mm-hmm. But either or.
Yeah, because if anyone's listening and they are starting to earn an income and stuff, I think automatically they're like, I need a management. But you can fully control the situation yourself as the influencer.
Yeah, I think as long as you don't blow up really quickly, right? And if you do, it's be hopeful that you have a really good support system around you, whether that be brothers, sisters, family, uncles, aunties, someone that can sort of guide you.
Yeah, best interest in heart.
Has your best interest at heart, can guide you in that area.
Yeah.
Which sometimes you see and sometimes you don't.
Yes, that's true. I know we weren't going to name drop anyone and you don't have to.
Name dropped a few people.
Yeah, true.
I haven't said anything.
Well, you said Anna Paul and someone else.
I'll name names. No.
Is there any influencer that works really well for you guys that you love working with?
You.
That's a great answer.
Ask a good answer. No, like is there anyone that you just like really enjoy their content, love working with?
There has to be some favourite influencers that you follow, that you like their content.
I think I like ones that I have a relationship with because I think I see past what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And usually it's quite funny.
Yeah.
Right? So, I love watching, Martha's content, Martha Kay from
Mass. She's very funny.
She's an OG. I love her mother, her dad, her son, her husband, her sister, the whole lot, right? Her brother. It's so entertaining, right? And it's entertaining for me maybe because we have a personal relationship as well. But, I think that it's hard to come by that, right? Yeah. There are a few newer, when I say newer, not calling her an old fart, but, you know, there are a few younger creators that really have that art as well. Mm. I think the more organic and real the content is, like real life stuff,
yeah,
the more successful they are.
Yeah.
You can't fake it.
Nah.
Right? It's actually impossible to fake.
The more people can relate to you.
I think also Martha, I think she's really, really, really good at doing content. Like I'll watch a video of hers and I'm just watching it captivate. I'm like, oh, I might buy that product. And then at the end I'm like, fuck, that was a paid post. I'm like, I had no idea. Like she's very good at doing content organically.
I think that she's smart in the sense, and sorry for talking about you, Martha. I think that she's smart in the sense that, and I think anyone who's in content creation should live and die by this. She will not take a job unless she believes in the
product.
Love
that. Right? Yeah.
And that is why her content is so authentic because she actually likes it.
Yeah. Right?
There's no point in, you know, you can't come to me and say, you know, I want you to do, you know, Lean Cuisine because I'm a Macca's person, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yep.
That's fair. Yeah.
I do love her content. And any difficult influences?
Tully Humphrey.
Yeah. Tully Humphrey, Sarah Pacini.
No, I think
you don't have to name that.
But do you know
any horror stories?
Give me horror stories.
You don't have to name anyone.
They don't deliver. Like, this is where they don't get the commercial aspect.
I think that when we say horror stories, it's not actually about the influencer themselves. Because in most cases, just due to the volume of work that we have, it's generally through an agent or through a manager. It's just the tardiness.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes we can wait, you know, something will be due back, say, on the 20th and it's the 20th and we're chasing and then it's the 25th and then it's the 30th. And I've only got one horror story, which was a piece of content that I was working. This was years ago. And again, it was through a manager. It wasn't even the influencer themselves. And it took 6 weeks to get past the due date to get the content that was already paid for. So, you know, it's not always. It can be. That's when I say horror, that's kind of as bad as it gets.
Yeah. Well, that's not that bad.
It's not. It's more just, it's more just that the tardiness and anything else. And also, you know, working with brands can be – sometimes they're not happy with the content. Sometimes the briefing from them into us or direct influencer is not, you know, exactly clear. What they wanted or clear. Mm. And especially, you know, in the world that we work in with, you know, we have listed lines, which basically means that, you know, it's a medicine. So, like, you know, we've got vitamins and we've got sunscreens and things like that. We have to, you know, make sure that whatever's coming out of their mouth is, you know –
there's guidelines that you have to follow.
There's guidelines that have to be followed, I don't want to say it's scripted, but it has to be followed. Yeah. And
legally, we have to
tick boxes.
Yeah.
And we do that, you know, we have a whole department dedicated to making sure that happens correctly. Yeah.
Do you have any brands that you guys stock that you think are doing social media amazingly?
I think it's hard to beat Emco in that space. And I think that Shelley and her team are probably, you know, couple of the smartest you'll ever meet. The beauty of them is that they put complete faith into the influencers that they work with. And they can because there are no limitations. It's cosmetics or skincare. There's no listed lines of, you know, medicines and all that sort of stuff. But basically giving them free rein to work with their products however they see fit, right, and integrate their products into their life however they see fit. Mm. And that is where that has been, I think, one of their biggest successes and, you know, we're proud to stock them as part of that. They do still do more scripted things like in-store content and things like that, which is great, sort of showing the consumers where to get it and all that sort of stuff. But I think that that's been their biggest success.
Yeah.
And then the likes of, you know, people who are OGs like Bondi Sands, they've always done really well, right? So, but just talking top of mind, I think Emco is probably the one that stands at the most at the moment.
And they have great products. Like as an influencer or content creator, it's easy to speak to and it's easy to use and generally use it. So it's like a great product. What about a brand? Because we were talking about this yesterday. I saw a brand on TikTok. Should I name it? Brittany Saunders, Fate.
Oh, yeah.
What's that? Brittany Saunders is an influencer. She has a brand called Fate.
Oh, is that activewear?
It's, I think they do activewear too.
And like just casual wear. Okay, for yep.
But we were looking at her TikTok yesterday and I'm like, this is a brand that does TikTok so well.
I've seen. She does the stuff in her warehouse and stuff. Yeah, she's
so
awesome.
Entertaining. And yeah. I said to Sarah, I'm like, this is like the brand you look up to follow because they yeah. do such great content. Is there any other brand outside Chemist Warehouse that you look to at for inspiration for content?
I wouldn't say inspiration for content because I think we have such a, I don't want to say it's a niche, but we are a pharmacy. So yeah, it's a bit hard to, you know, you can take definitely, you know, elements of inspiration. But I actually think High Smile does and has done an incredible job at building their brand digitally, socially, however you want to frame it. I mean, you know, you go back, you know, 2-3 years ago and those ads with the blue teeth and the, you know, the foams and, you know, all that sort of stuff was really, I guess, eye-catching, you know, for and kind of stopped you in your tracks in terms of, you know, the way that they advertise. I think they've done it really well. And that's been their biggest success.
Yeah, they are.
Done incredible.
Yeah, quite successful.
What was your role in Chemist Warehouse prior to social media and marketing?
I actually used to be a buyer. So I used to look after the fragrance and cosmetics for the group going back, it would be over 10 years ago now.
Really?
But I did that for quite a long time, yeah.
What? So I never knew that.
I didn't know that either.
Didn't you?
No. I knew you studied like pharmacy or something for like a couple of
3 years. 3 minutes, yeah.
Why the perfumes and fragrances?
I think it's just a bit of an evolution. I sort of, you know, grew up within the store environment and started working with my brother Matt on My Beauty Spot, which is a little kiosky fragrance cosmetic hub in the middle of some shopping centres. Some of them still exist, so go and check them out. It just became a natural evolution, such an interesting fragrance, still have such an interesting fragrance. And, yes, grew up and started to had the opportunity to come into head office and start as a junior buyer underneath someone and they eventually got pregnant and off they went and I got a promotion.
You got the tap on the shoulder.
Yeah, tap on the shoulder and, yeah, it was a fragrance buyer and then the cosmetics buyer for a little bit as well, which was such an interesting space to play in.
Yeah.
I think the thing that helps with setting the, I guess, when we're working with influencers, I guess giving them the correct briefs and things like that, I think having that knowledge of how products sell and, you know, how products come in and out in the store definitely helps.
Yeah.
You look at it from a different lens, right, because you have to think of volumes and reorders and, I mean, you know, things that you wouldn't even think of as an influencer manager, hypothetically.
Yeah, never thought of it like that. Yeah. So how did you fall into Socialize with Tanya?
We started working on a brand together,
okay.
External to Chemist Warehouse. I don't really want to name brands, but we started working on a brand together and she was consulting and then we started realizing that at that particular point, this influencer marketing thing started to take off. So in order to try and get this brand off the ground in Australia, we started working with influencers and we started to realize through, you know, things like content taking 6 weeks to get delivered that we should just do this ourselves. Like, let's just start, you know, not managing people, but just being the conduit for brands to try and, you know, we were just doing it for one brand, but we thought we would have we had the capabilities to do it for more. So that's kind of how that came about.
Didn't know that.
So we kind of hit the ground running and then that brand is still doing very well for itself. So they've got an incredible team of people that are floating well and truly on their own with huge numbers on, you know, TikTok and whatnot. They do content very well, a bit like Brittany Saunders' brand. So, yeah.
Incredible. I did not know that. So interesting.
When you look back at Chemist Warehouse, are you in awe of the growth and the expansion of it globally?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been in it a long time. I think that it's been incredible to watch and to be a part of that journey. I think that there's so much yet to come, right? It's just there's this continual growth and evolution of the business. You know, we've recently sort of started a whole new podcasting arm and sort of like that's tick, another thing we've done, right? Yeah. And it's kind of like, well, what's the next thing? You know, there's always that. And I think working for a business sort of this size, it's been incredible to be able to have that opportunity to do that. So, yeah, I am in complete awe of how – and for me it seems like it's happened quite quickly, but it's been incredible. I mean, the expansion to overseas and whatnot is something you would never have imagined.
It's crazy.
But I think people forget we still kind of operate like the corner milk bar. Like we're very much a, you know, tight-knit family-run business that, you know, sometimes we scream and yell at each other and you know, all that sort of thing. But I think that's the benefit of us. It's never, we don't take any day for granted. We don't take the customers for granted. We don't take our suppliers for granted. We don't take anything for granted.
Mm.
We just keep moving like we are that corner milk bar, hustle, hustle, hustle.
Love that.
But with that comes some incredible opportunities. So
I always say to friends, like if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, I'm like, I would love to work for a company like Chemist Warehouse. Mm. I always say, you guys look after, I mean, we do work with you.
Yeah.
But if someone's, I always say, I'm like, they're just such a great company to work with and work for. If you want to find a job, go to Chemist Warehouse website.
Even you as a person, Leash, I think I had a conversation with Tal at the start of this week. I just love my conversations around business with you, and you are one of the smartest persons I know. In the business world.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You are very smart.
Oh, thank you.
No, you really, and you just bring a fresh new perspective, and I've learned so much from you in the 2 years I've known you in business.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. If I've ever got like things I always
talk to you. I'm not good at a lot of other things though.
No, you are.
No, but like even the other day we had like a little chat walking to my car. I was like, fuck, I really enjoyed that conversation with Leash.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Talking about life and I'll say it. I was like, often I feel a shame around business and work. Am I successful enough yet?
Imposter syndrome a little bit.
And you,
your own enemy.
And borrowing money off family to make businesses grow. And you were like, everyone needs help at some stage. And you gave a family story as well. That was, and I was like, fuck, you're actually, you just gave me a different perspective.
Oh, I don't know how anyone, this. I was actually speaking to my own children about this yesterday, just how that some things in life are hard work, and I think everything requires hard work, but there's also an element of luck, right? You can try as hard as you want. You know, there's been some people that have been super successful with no help, but then there's also the element of luck, and some of it is, I don't want to say earned luck, but, you know, at the end of the day, if you're lucky enough to have a family that can help you start something, don't feel guilty about that because I think at the end of the day, if it was the opposite, if it was my kid asking me for help, if I could help them do something or attempt something in life, you would, right? Yeah, and I don't think there should become, I don't think there should be any guilt in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true. That's why I loved that chat walking to the car.
And it was good because then Sarah passed it on to me and I was like, oh my God, that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you helped two people with one conversation. Yeah, you
did in one conversation.
Do you have a mentor?
No, not really. You.
No. No, well.
No, I think I'm in an environment where I'm surrounded by very smart business people that have grown a business from nothing, right? So they've learnt so many lessons along the way. Anyone that thinks that this shit just happens overnight is just
fuck no.
Right? You know, I've seen, you know, as any businesses, everyone has to fall and fall and fall and fall and get back up again and keep going and keep going until they find the right formula.
Yeah.
So I'm surrounded by people that have been through ups and downs of business. So lucky enough to be able to go on and ask advice to, you know, many of the people. And like I said, it's like a big family here.
Yeah.
It is. We've got people that have worked here for 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Wow.
You know, heads of our departments have all been here since the beginning, since there was one shop. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe, but I always say once you come into the vortex, you never come out.
Yeah.
It's a great place to work. It's a great place to expand. And I think that at the end of the day, it's there's never an end date because if you decide, I think the beauty of this business is if you decide, you know what, I don't want to do buying anymore or I've got to go and do something else for a bit. Let me learn about digital marketing. No one's going to stop you and say no. They're actually very supportive of seeing the growth of you within the walls, right?
I love that.
The dedication to the wider. Person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Is that it?
Yes.
I see, why were you nervous?
Tan.
Just sweating.
Tan, we didn't get cancelled, did we?
No.
Are we really finished?
Yes. Well, I don't know if you've got something else to say.
Nah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
It's us again. We're back.
It's Tully and Sarah. And if you don't know, we have an activewear brand called Tully Lou.
And we have Australia's favourite leggings, but not only do we have leggings, we've got hoodies, we've got outerwear.
We've got everything that you may need for an active lifestyle. So we
want to give you guys an offer. If you've never shopped at Tally Lou, or if you've shopped at Tally Lou and you just want $15 off your next order, you need to take this offer, and it's TL Cherry, all caps, all one word, and pop that in at checkout and you will get $15 off. So head to our website. It's www.tallylou.com, or head to our Instagram, stalk our page, use the code, and let's get you all in some TL.
And welcome to the family.